Hello?
Hi, can I speak to This is Detective Davidson with the Sheriff's Department returning your call.
Hi.
Sorry it took me so long. I haven't been in the office. We were out there quite late last night. So, sounds like you have some questions for me, so I won't say anything. Just go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to find out what happened to my son. I guess he tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Use the police to do it.
Well, it's pretty common. What happened is we got a call of your son. We didn't know at the time that it was him behind a pizza place over off of Moore Park Road. Are you familiar with Thousand Oaks?
Yeah, I used to live.
Okay. Over by Lori Lane, Wilbur, that area. They get to this area behind the pizza place, and they find him with an X-Acto type knife, and he's cutting his wrists. Okay, there's a large pool of blood around him. Some of the deputies that arrive actually have dealt with your son before, so they start talking to him. They talk on a first name basis. They're trying to tell him to drop the knife and hey, let's work this out. He gets up and just runs off. So they're trying to get him. They're chasing after him. Trying to stop him. They try using pepper spray so that they can just disarm him. And that's not effective. They use what we call less than lethal. It's a beanbag gun that shoots large beanbags at the person. So again, to disarm them but not injure them, that's ineffective. And he starts running towards a school where they have swim lessons. It's a swim school. And it was filled with, there were probably about 40 kids there at the time. They're telling him, you can't go there, we can't. It's a dead end, so that's the only place he could go. And they're telling him, we can't let you go in there, you can't go there. And he's just not listening, he's not stopping. And at that point, I can't go into the specifics of it because it's not entirely clear. We're still interviewing people. We had witnesses, citizens that were witnesses, and there's an elderly home nearby, so we have rather elderly people who witnessed this. But at some point in there is when one of the deputies went ahead and shot him. And, the exact specifics as to what triggered that, I don't know. I can just tell you that he was walking towards that place, and I don't know what exactly transpired in those last seconds. But that's the kind of the... How everything took place. Took place over about a 5 to 7 minute span of time. So it was a pretty, they were with him for quite some time, pleading with him, trying to get him to stop. He, tried to climb a fence into this pool area. They tried to pull him off the fence. It was a pretty...
They were afraid for the children?
But yeah, that's what the people are at the school were saying too, is that there was actually a woman in the parking lot where the shooting took place, putting her kids in the car, not 15 feet from where this was happening, and everybody's taking the kids and running, and he's dripping with blood from his injury on his wrist, which he, throughout this chase, he continued to cut himself, he had cut all the way to the bone on his wrist. Yeah, he'd really done a number on his wrist. To the point that had we been able to disarm him, he'd probably have permanent damage to it. He'd cut the tendons, the muscle. It was a really horrible, horribly painful wound. But apparently he was oblivious to it because he didn't react to anything that they were doing.
Did he have drugs on?
I don't know, and we're not saying he did or didn't. I don't know if what was going on with him was drug-induced or psychologically induced. I understand that he had a problem kind of in both areas, so I don't know, and I won't try to tell you one or the other. Is Stephanie your ex-wife?
Yeah.
Okay. Her speculation is that no, it was not drug-induced, that he'd just gotten out of jail about a week prior, and it was her feeling that he had kind of stayed clean, but was probably using alcohol, but that he also had been kind of up and down emotionally in these last few days.
Yeah, it was probably emotional. I talked to him Saturday.
Okay.
And I was going to come out and pick him up.
Mm.
And
okay.
I was trying to find him. He called me, and then my wife had the car, so I couldn't come and get him. I guess it was Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Then I talked to him later on, and he wouldn't answer.
Okay.
On the phone.
What was it? When you talked to him on Saturday, how was he?
Sunday.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sunday. How was he psychologically?
I think he would have been all right if I'd have got there.
Okay.
I don't know. He's, from that, he just went downhill.
Right.
I wish I would have got there, but I don't know. He didn't have a place to stay, and I told him he could stay over here.
Yeah.
And then I would come and pick him up, but he couldn't give me where he was at, and he kept fading off on the phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the previous night he had stayed at a friend's house and ate dinner there, and you know, they allowed him to go ahead and spend the night with them at their house. So we know that that's where he was the night before this.
Okay, thank you for calling me.
No problem. Now, I believe that Stephanie's father is going to kind of be handling some of the logistics of this. Is that correct? Or?
I haven't talked to him. I don't know.
Okay. They have that information, so, and I'm assuming you have her phone number as well. I know she has yours, so.
Yeah, I do.
I'd imagine you guys would be communicating, you know, to make those arrangements then.
Uh-huh.
So. Okay, well, you have my number, and like I said, normally I return calls much more quickly. I wasn't even in the office until literally just now I walked in. So we were up quite late and then back at it quite early on this one.
All right, thanks a lot.
No problem.
Bye.
It was a phone call with on April the 9th, 2003 at 1445 hours.